Well, it's great to be here tonight. I'm glad you're here. What a good-looking group. We had an ugly group last night, but what a good-looking group. No, I'm kidding. I'm grateful you're here, and I just out of my own curiosity, I wonder how many of you tonight are not members of Keystone Church, but would like to be, okay? If you will see these pastors right after the service, they'll fix you up. No, I appreciate this good crowd. I was preaching somewhere the other night, and I was coming to church with the evangelist. I was coming to church with a pastor, and I was the evangelist there for a few nights, and we were driving in, and we pulled in the parking lot, and Brother Kenny, nobody there. Nobody there. I mean, the pastor and myself were pulling in, nobody there. I was just devastated. And Stan, I said to the pastor, I said, did you promote? Did you announce? Did you advertise that I was coming? He said, no, but apparently the word got out. Amen. So I thank you so much for being here tonight. I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. Can we do that? I want us to take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to call your attention to verse 18 through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to call your attention to verse 18 through verse 21. This is what the Bible says. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let us pray. Lord, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I have been doing this long enough that I know, God, unless you come, anything and everything that we'll do will be vanity and vexation. But God, if you come tonight, and as I speak to ears and you speak to hearts, Lord, the Word of God comes alive. D.L. Moody said it best. You didn't give us the Bible to increase our knowledge. You gave the Bible to change our lives. And the Word of God tonight can change the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. So I pray tonight that you just make our tongue a ready writer's pen, give your word a free course to travel, and may it find a lodging place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, for all you do, we'll bow our unworthy heads, we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the praise. And I'll pray this prayer with a grateful heart, for I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you tonight about the God that we sometimes forget about. The God that we sometimes forget about. You know, Jesus said these words in John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. He didn't say it was necessary for him. He said, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And you know, folks, if you've gone to church, you hear a lot of teaching about God. You hear a lot of teaching about Jesus. But you don't hear much teaching about the Holy Spirit. And you know what? As I travel and I preach in all types of churches, all types, literally, you name it, I'm in them. And this is what I've learned. Most churches are one of two extremes. They're either a cemetery or they're a mental asylum. They're either a cemetery or a mental asylum. But ladies and gentlemen, we desperately need the Holy Spirit. And He's the God that we sometimes forget about. See, I'm convinced tonight there are three groups of people here. There are people here that don't know the Lord. You're just as lost as last year's Easter egg. That's okay, though. You're in a good place. Amen? You're in a good place. There are people here that don't know the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is not inside you. Now, there's a second group of people that are here. They have received the Lord. They've received the Holy Spirit. Because if you have received the Lord, you've received the Holy Spirit. God doesn't dissect the Trinity when we get saved. Amen? Romans 8 and 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's that group of people that are here. You've received the Lord. You've received the Holy Spirit. But you've never given the Holy Spirit control of your life. See, when the Scripture says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I know this. I hate to admit this. But if you're drunk, you're out of control. I hate to admit that I know that, but I do. Let me tell you something, folks. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're giving Him control of our lives, somebody's controlling us other than ourselves. And then there's that third group. That's the people that know the Lord and they are controlled by the Holy Spirit. That He controls their lives. See, folks, how many of you know you can live in a house and not own it? Man, I've lived in more of them I didn't own than I did. Folks, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit can come into your life, but not have control. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Did you ever think about this? If you walk, you're totally depending. Walk in the Spirit. And what God is saying to us, He wants us to walk and totally depend on the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say four quick things. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. Four quick things tonight. Number one, I want you to see the command to be filled with the Spirit. The command to be filled with the Spirit. Now here's what's so interesting, folks. We read this book, Ephesians 5 and 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now we got to ask the question. When Paul wrote this, who was it written to? Was it written to a bunch of pagan Greeks? Well, that's pretty easy to understand. We just go back to Ephesians 1 and 1. And look what he says. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Get this, folks. It matters not to me. It matters not. You say, well, I'm Baptist. Well, a Baptist is just a Methodist that can read. It matters not. That matters not. Here's what I want you to understand. It matters not. But Paul said to the church, be ye filled with the Spirit. He said to Keystone. He said to Rock Springs. He said to the church, be ye filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to see something, folks. This is not for super saints. He said to all people, be ye filled with the Spirit. There's a second thing I want you to see. You can't do it yourself. Be ye filled. Also, when he said, be ye filled with the Spirit, this was in the present tense. And that's the continual tense. So ladies and gentlemen, not any of this were to and through. It's a continual thing that he said to the church on a continual basis, be ye filled with the Spirit. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, the virgins had oil in their lamps. And I researched that scripture on one of my visits to Israel. And I found out this was the lamp. It only burns 2 to 4 hours. And then they have to have fresh oil. That's why David said in Psalms 92 and 10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a command in the Word of God, and the command in the Word of God is for us to be continually filled with God's Spirit. Now, not only the command to be filled with God's Spirit, but what are the conditions for being filled with the Spirit? What are the conditions for a man, woman, boy, or girl to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I think there are three conditions. I'll give them to you right quickly. First of all, you have to have a desire to be filled. You have to have a desire to be filled. See, Samuel Chadwick said it best. Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Christian religion becomes so dry. Christian religion becomes so mechanical. It's so dead. It's so lifeless, ladies and gentlemen, without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it just becomes so routine. Oh, we may not have an order of service, but we have an order of service. It's just dead. It's just lifeless without His presence. I was in a church a while back, and literally, it was so lifeless. While I was preaching, a man literally died. The paramedics came. They carried out 13 men before they got the right one. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be a desire. There's got to be a desire in your life. There's got to be a desire in my life to say, Lord, I'm empty. I'm empty, and I need a fresh touch of your presence. I'm empty, Lord, and I need a fresh touch. See, think about this scripture. John chapter 14. Or John chapter 4, excuse me. Verse 13. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. I love that. Whosoever drinketh. Folks, it didn't say whosoever half drunk. It said whosoever drinketh. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, it's a continual experience that we have to have a desire to be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you something else, folks. There's a second step. We have to denounce sin. We have to denounce sin. See, notice what 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 says. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, folks, God can't fill us if we're already full of pride. God can't fill us if we're already full of malice. God can't fill us if we're already full of greed and lust. So the conditions for being spirit-filled, there's got to be a desire to be filled. And then there's got to be a denouncing of sin. And then you've got to dedicate yourself fully to Christ. See, folks, you can use all kinds of semantics. I'm a communicator. An educator takes things that are simple and makes them complicated. I'm a communicator. I take things that are complicated and make them simple. I say to you, Michael, great young preacher, it's not what you got in the loft. It's what you get in the trough that counts. It's what people. Oh, let me tell you, there's a point in every preacher's life that he's got to decide, am I going to impress or am I going to impact people? Am I going to impress or am I going to impact people? And God's called us to impact people. And here's what I want you to understand. The only way you and I can get more of God is to give God more of us. We can talk consecration, we can talk dedication, we can talk sanctification, but at the end of the day, the only way to get more of God is to give God more of you. See, there's the command, not the suggestion. There's the command to be filled with the Spirit. There's the conditions for being filled with the Spirit. Let me give you the third thing. They're the consequences. They're the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. You see, Brother Benny, what are the consequences of being filled with the Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us. It says, and be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And then it gives you the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. Look what verse 19 says. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the consequences of being filled with the Spirit is gladness. It's gladness. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're always complaining, you're not spirit-filled. If you're always offended, you're not spirit-filled. If you're always upset, you're not spirit-filled. Not because I said it, but because the Word says it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we're filled with God's Spirit, He hath made me glad, and there'll be a gladness in our heart. Amen? I've said this. I said it last night. I've been pastoring, folks. I've been preaching. I started preaching when I was 17. I'm 51. I've been doing this somewhere just about every night. And I'm being honest with you. Some of the most negative people I've ever met are church members. I preach one night, I preach my heart out. I preach like a holy roller at a camp meeting. And I go to the door. And some English major, bless her heart, she said, "Dr. Tate, can I have a word with you?" I said, "Sure." She said, "Your message was somewhat challenging." But she said, "There were several grammatical errors." I just wanted to slap her in Jesus' name. Amen. She said, "There were several grammatical errors." I said, "Sister, you don't understand. I had to give up half of my vocabulary when I got saved." Folks, let me tell you, this is what I know. When we're spirit-filled, He puts gladness in our hearts. Not because Benny Dade said it, but because the Bible says it. And ladies and gentlemen, not only does He put gladness in our heart, but He puts gratefulness in our hearts. Notice what the Scripture says. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. When a person is spirit-filled, not only do they have gladness, but they have gratefulness. Somebody said, "Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. While others are going hungry, we're doing very well. With home, health, and happiness, we should not make a fuss. By the stack of evidence before us, God's been very good to us." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, many times we're grumbly hateful when we ought to be humbly grateful. From the day of your birth to the ride in the hearse, things are never so bad that they couldn't be worse. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. If we're spirit-filled, there's a gratefulness in our hearts. We want to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We just want to thank Him, folks. I heard about a lady that got up one morning. She had 3 hairs on her head. She said, "You know, I believe I'll braid my hair today." Brother Ken, she got up the next morning. She had 2 hair on her head. 2 hairs on her head. She said, "You know, I believe I'll part my hair in the middle." She got up the next morning. She had 1 hair on her head. She said, "You know, I believe I'll wear my hair in a ponytail." She got up the next morning, no hair on her head. She said, "Thank you, Lord. I don't have to do my hair today." Oh, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. If we're spirit-filled, there'll be gladness in our lives. He had made me glad. If we're spirit-filled, there'll be gratefulness in our lives. But let me tell you something else, folks. If we're spirit-filled, there'll be graciousness in our lives. You say, "What are you talking about, graciousness, Pastor?" Well, look what he says in verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, don't get real quiet on me. But this is what I know. If you can be a good Christian at home, you can be a good Christian anywhere. Yeah. No, don't elbow him. Listen. Look what he said. "Husbands, you submit and meet that wife's need." See, I wrote the book, sis. Happy Wife, Happy Life. Did you read it? You should read it. It's a type of book, once you lay it down, it's hard to pick it back up. But you know what it says? It's saying that the husband is supposed to submit and meet the wife's need. And the wife is supposed to submit and meet the husband's need. And then it goes on to talk about children. You're to submit to your parents. I know what it is to have a teenager. Boy, you have a teenager and you understand why animals eat their young. It's saying that children are supposed to submit to their parents. And then listen. It's saying workers are supposed to submit to their bosses. And it's saying the employers, am I preaching the book, Ken? Employers are supposed to submit to God. Let me tell you, folks, those things that I just preached about, you're not good enough to do on your own. Those things that Benny Tate just preached about, no, he's not good enough to do on his own. That only comes through being filled with the Holy Spirit. That only comes through somebody other than ourselves. And I'm not talking about enthusiasm. I'm not talking about a force. I'm not talking about an energy. I'm talking about a person, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. Now let me lastly, and I'm done. In conclusion, little girl stayed all night with my little daughter when she was small. And I got right here and I said, in conclusion. And that little girl said to Savannah Abigail, what does it mean when your daddy says, in conclusion? And Savannah said, absolutely nothing. But I promise, in conclusion, the context of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I try to wrap it all up. Why is it so important, Brother Benny? Why is being filled with the Holy Spirit so important? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, Spirit-filled service. Spirit-filled service. If we serve the Lord just in the flesh, we're going to burn out. And we're not going to be productive. If we try to do ministry in our giftedness, if we try to do ministry in our skill level, if we try to do ministry within our resources, ladies and gentlemen, we won't be productive and we're going to burn out. No matter what you believe, no matter what you believe about Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in different languages. And everybody say amen. No matter what you believe about Pentecost, we can't deny the fact on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in different languages. And this is what I want to say. There is no explanation other than the Holy Spirit. There is no explanation other than the Holy Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, for our ministry to be productive, it matters not to me if you're teaching a toddler Sunday school class or you're standing in the pulpit or you're greeting somebody or you're ushering or you're singing on the praise team. For our ministry to be productive, we desperately need the Holy Spirit. Do you realize this, folks? Do you realize the priests and Levites, Brother Kenny, could not begin public ministry. It was unlawful for them to begin public ministry until they were 30 years of age. Do you realize that it was unlawful for a scribe to teach until he was 30 years of age? And I realized something. In Luke chapter 3, verse 22, this is what it says. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. The Holy Ghost comes upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I'm well pleased. And then the next verse says, And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And this is all I'm going to say, folks. If Jesus Christ needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? If Jesus Christ needed the Holy Spirit, how much more does this church, how much more does the church I pastor, how much more does our denomination need the Holy Spirit? See, folks, the context of being Spirit-filled is Spirit-filled service. But I'll tell you something else. It's Christ-like living. It's Christ-like living. It's Christ-like living. How can people see Jesus? It's the Holy Spirit in us. That's how they see Jesus. Think about this. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What comes out of us that's good? It's because of the Holy Spirit. And there's a third reason why. And that's so you can have victory in your life. That's so, the Bible says in Romans 8 and 13, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. You say, Pastor Benny, what about these strongholds? What about these vices in our lives? Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is greater than any of that. The Holy Spirit is greater than any of that. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. D.L. Moody, a great preacher of days gone by, used to go and preach. And there was two elderly ladies that would come and hear him preach. And they would say to D.L. Moody, Brother Moody, we're praying for you. He said, don't pray for me. Pray for the lost. Pray for people to be saved. They said, oh, Brother Moody, we're praying for you to be filled with the Spirit. We're praying for you to be filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody said one day in Chicago, the Holy Spirit came upon him in a great way. And he said, God came upon me in such a great way that I asked the Lord, Lord, just stay your hand. Just stay your hand. I don't know if I can take it anymore. And D.L. Moody said, after that experience, I got up. He said, I preach the same messages. I preach from the same outlines. I shared the same words. But he said, oh, there was a response that there wasn't before. There was results that they weren't before because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you could hear D.L. Moody pray on a regular basis, he'd say, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And finally somebody asked him, said, Dr. Moody, Brother Moody, why do you keep praying, fill me with your Spirit? Why do we hear you over and over saying, fill me with your Spirit? And D.L. Moody said these words, I leak. And I don't know about you folks, but with the world, flesh, and the devil coming at me, I leak. And I need a fresh feeling of God's presence. I need a fresh feeling of God's touch. More than we need anything else. What a privilege as I close, as they get music ready. What a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. What a privilege. I long one day, Ken, to get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Moses, What was it like when you placed your rod over the Red Sea and it parted? I'm going to say to Daniel, what was it like being in that den of lions? God taking care of you. I'm going to say to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it like being cast into that fiery furnace and coming out and not even smelling like smoke? Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happened. Amen? What was it like? And then I'm going to start to walk off. One of those guys, I believe, is going to say to me, Benny, come back. And I'm going to walk back. And he's going to say, what was it like having the Holy Spirit inside you? Because we never had that. The Holy Spirit came up on us for certain tasks. But what was it like for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to teach you the Bible, to bring things to your remembrance, to tell you which direction to go? What was it like having God in the Holy Spirit inside you? Ladies and gentlemen, more than anything else, say we need lights and we need media and we need buildings and we need all that. But more than anything else, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit more than we need anything else. He's who we need. We need Him. Just for a moment, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Just for a moment, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I wonder how many say, Pastor Benny, tonight, this message was for me. This message was for me tonight. It was for me. Just pray for me, Brother Benny. You just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. Just slip, yes, many, many hands. I want us to stand tonight. I want us just to stand. Tonight, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor Benny, it was me that you preached to. I just need a fresh touch of God's presence. I need a fresh touch of God's presence. I want you to just slip out and come down front and stand down front. That's it. Just come down. Just come down and just stand. Pastor Ken, would you take a mic tonight? I just feel really impressed. I just feel impressed to do this. Would you just take a mic tonight, Brother Ken, and lead us in that prayer that we would pray. Maybe perhaps we can just pray after you. We can just pray after you, Pastor Ken, and we can just pray for a fresh feeling of your presence. Take the service, Brother Ken.
Bitter, Father. We've responded wrong to situations, Father. We've not forgiven. We've backed off when we should have spoken up, and we've spoken up when we should have backed off. Father, we need you, and we need your power in our life, Lord. This is not something we can do on our own. And Father, I would pray for our young people tonight, yes, Father, who are trying to learn this walk. This walk, Father, that takes it from the flesh and takes them into the spirit. Help them, oh God, to rely upon you. Father, I pray that the one place it would be first evidence, Father, is within our homes and in our marriages, Lord. That, Father, our homes would be that safe haven of the Holy Spirit. And that your power, Father, would reign. That we would be quick to forgive, Lord. Slow to anger. And, Father, I pray for those tonight who have never yielded to Christ. They have known you, Father, but they've never yielded to you. They've never said, become master of my life. That tonight, Father, they would pray simply, Lord Jesus, fill me. Lord, fill every aspect of who I am.
Yes.
Everything, Lord. That my attitude, Father, would be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
That my tongue, oh,
yes,
Lord,
God,
might be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That, Father, everything about me, how I relate to people, how I trust you, Father, how I trust you in my relationships, how I trust you with my finances, would be of the Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight, Lord, for those who are specifically hurting, Lord. Satan has assaulted them, and he has overwhelmed them. That tonight, Lord, they might be undergirded. That tonight, Lord, they might be sustained as the Holy Spirit fills every fiber of their being, Lord. Father, may we open up every part of our life and say, fill me, Lord. And may we, Father, be willing to restore that relationship. To make that thing right. Speak to that person that we've been avoiding. But Father, tonight we pray that the Holy Spirit would make again his abode within us, filling every bit of us, Lord. That in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we would be conquerors, being reminded that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We ask it in your Son's one matchless name, Father, that one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Folks, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Folks, let me share something with you. As you're seated, we're basically finished. What a wonderful service. I've enjoyed both services. I really mean that. Your music, the worship, it's been tremendous. I promise you, I have been blessed. I have been blessed both nights long before I got up to preach. I want to encourage you tomorrow night as president of the General Conference. I thank you for your support. Abraham Lincoln said, whatever you are, be a good one. Amen. Whatever you are, be a good one. If we're going to be a Congregational Methodist, we ought to be a good one. If we're going to be a Nazarene, be a good one. Amen? Whatever you are, be a good one. And so I thank you for your support. But as the president of the Congregational Methodist Church, I have a special presentation to make tomorrow night to your pastors. And I would so encourage you to invite your church members. Come tomorrow night. We're going to honor these two wonderful men. They're just that. They're wonderful men. And they got great wives. Amen? Behind every successful man is a surprise woman. They've got great wives. And so we appreciate them. And we appreciate you being here tonight. I really do. I mean that with all my heart. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for coming. Many times on Sunday morning, I'm the I'm the last one to leave at our church. I stay. And people will say, Brother Benny, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I always say to them, no, no. Without you, there's no need for me. Without you, there's no need for me. Everything, let me tell you something, folks. You're all important. Whatever you do for the Lord, it's important. Whatever you do. I've got the greatest wife in the world. Greatest wife in the world. We made a covenant years ago. We'd never go to bed upset at each other. We've been married 32 years. We never have. Now, we've stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time. But I used to call back home, Ken, and Barbara said, how'd it go tonight? And I'd say, she always asked me, how was the service? She asked me last night, how was the service? I said, great church, great service, great response, Barbara. Wonderful, wonderful people. And Matt, I'd call back home and I'd say, Barbara, what are you doing? And she'd say, well, I just did Savannah's homework with her. And I just bathed her. And I just put her in bed. And I'd say to her, don't you ever forget, Barbara, what you're doing is more important than what I'm doing. And I want you to know, folks, whatever you do for the Lord, it's important. Amen? It's important. Whatever you do for the Lord, whatever capacity. Did you ever think about this? This is the hand. I'm not going to preach again, but this is the hand. This is the hand. And you see the hand. You see the hand. But you know, I've got a man on my staff who has one arm. He's on my staff. He's got one arm. He can function without a hand. He can function without an arm. But staying inside here, there's something pumping. You can't see it. But I can't survive without it. And see, folks, it's not the people at church that you always see that are important. It's the people behind the scenes that are not seen. That's what really makes a great church. You haven't served God till God gets the glory and somebody else gets the credit. Amen? I don't know. I'm on the road tonight. I need to. But tomorrow night, it's going to be a great night. I'm back here, and I've got, if we got some streaming cards. You can stream everything that we're preaching, anytime. I'm not saying stay out of church and watch it, no. But I'm saying after church, you can archive it, you can do whatever. I've got church members that stay out of church and watch. I hate that, but they do. Anyway, but the cards are back there if you'd like to stream our services. I appreciate you, Brother Kenyon. I want you to know that Miss Jewel's in my prayers. God bless you.